All right, tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 7. The book of Genesis is a very interesting book in the Bible, first book, of course, and in that book has the beginnings of everything. I am a literalist when it comes to the Scripture. I believe when the Lord talks about a day, he talks about a 24-hour period of time, the morning and the evening. You have to have a specific time frame there. As far as the controversy goes in our world, I believe in a young earth. I don't believe we're billions of years old. God made it as old as he wanted to make it when he put it into motion. But I believe the time frame of our world that we live in is relatively a short time frame. And I know that doesn't go along with science so-called. That's what the Bible says it is, so-called science. But true science will always verify the Scripture. And I'm glad we don't have to have science to verify the Scripture is true. Tonight we're going to be looking at a portion of Scripture that is sometimes very difficult to look at and to realize what took place. And in chapter 7, of course, in chapter number, we'll go back just a little bit. In the chapter 6, we find that everything in the world was going along, as far as the world was concerned, pretty well. Everything was, as far as they were concerned, they were marrying, giving in marriage. They were doing, their society was going right on. And the Lord looks at that and he sees that every imagination of the heart of man was only evil continually. That's verse number 5 of chapter 6. God sees the wickedness of man is great upon the earth. Even though we are just a few chapters into the book of Genesis, we are a long period of time as far as years are concerned. Man has progressed. Man has expanded. A society has started and man has continually sinned against the Lord. God looks down upon mankind. He says everything they think about is wickedness. And so that gives you a picture of what the world was like. But there was a man in that world that was usable for the Lord, and his name was Noah. The Scripture says in chapter number 6 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Tonight, grace is what takes us from here to glory. And Noah found grace, and the Lord said he did not always strive with mankind, and he gave them a time period, a time frame that Noah preached to them. And tonight we read in chapter 7, verse number 21, down through the rest of the chapter, verse 24. This is the summation of what takes place after the flood, or what happens because of the flood. Verse 21, Genesis 7. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle, and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And then those last three words, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heavens. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed over the earth 150 days. Sometimes we talk about the flood being 40 days and 40 nights. Well, that's just a small portion of what took place, what happened in the flood. The skeptics, they say, well, it can rain 40 days and 40 nights. There's no way that water would cover the entire earth. But they forget to mention that the fountains of the deep were broken up. The water was coming from above. Water was coming from beneath. And the Scripture says it prevailed 15 cubits above the highest hill. And at that time, I doubt there was any mountains. The mountain ranges were because of the climactic things that took place during the flood. and the upheaval of the earth. But 15 cubits above the highest hill of the earth, the Bible says, was covered with water. Now the Lord tells us here that because of that, everything that had the breath of life, man, creeping things, the fowls of the air, they all perished. They all died. And the verse here that says only Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. You go from a population of no telling how many worldwide to a population of just those very few. The scripture says eight souls. And so the judgment that God brought upon this earth was a very drastic judgment because of their sin. The judgment that's coming again upon this earth is for the same reason. It's because of the every imagination of a man's heart, of a society's makeup is only on evil, wickedness. And God says he will judge this world again, not with a flood of water, but he will judge this world with the judgment of God. So I want us to think tonight, this is a very, to me, this is a, probably one of the saddest commentaries on mankind, because just in a short period of time, everything that breathed, everything that had the breath of life, died. The scripture tells us here that in verse 22, all that on the dry land died, every living substance was destroyed. It was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things, and the waters prevailed. And so we see here, there's a reason why these verses are given. Was it because God did not give them an opportunity? Someone sometimes says, well, God's a very harsh God to bring judgment upon people and to destroy a whole race. Well, I want us to think tonight of all the things that God gave this society and gave these people opportunity that they could hear and they could believe. Of course, the ark has been built. Noah worked on that a number of years, and those people around him, they saw all those things, and we'll look at some of that. But this account in Scripture is sad indeed. The reason for that is because they rejected God in spite of all that he did for them. Just like today, there's a lot of people that will reject the blessings of the Lord in spite of all that, that God has offered and all that God has done for them. God always has a witness. He has a witness in this generation. And he had a witness in the generation here of the flood, and his name was Noah. He was that man that God used, and God has this witness in the world to help prevent people from going to hell. We see the scripture is very, very clear, and God gives opportunity for folks to hear, for folks to either accept or to reject. One preacher has said it this way. He said, he said, we may not prevent this generation from going to hell, but we ought to make it hard for them to go to hell. And that just simply means we ought to present the gospel continually and give them the word of the Lord, because faith comes by hearing. They must hear the word of God. They're not just going to come by it of their own self. It must be by the word of the Lord. And so Noah went out every day, I believe, as he built the ark. I believe he went out and gave a witness, just not in just the ark, but a witness, I believe, of himself and his family, that they love the Lord. This coming, I believe it's this coming July, the ark is supposed to open over in over just south of Cincinnati in Kentucky, Williamstown, I believe it is, close there. And I read something the other day that that's the largest, largest all-wood structure in the world. And the Bible gives us the measurements, and folks that are building that, they have tried to build it according to the plan here that God gave. And I saw a picture of a man standing, and my goodness, it's huge. And I'm looking forward to being able to go see that, at least a replica of it. I look forward to being able to just go through there and just see some of the things and visualize what it was maybe like. And Ken Ham and his organization has done a great job in the Creation Museum, and they're doing the same thing here with this. And thank the Lord there are people that have the ability to present to the world. And as that ark was a representation of things to the world in which Noah lived, I believe it can also be a representation to the world in which we live. But I want us to notice tonight three different things, these things that were set before this generation, and they rejected God's salvation anyway. And it's a sad commentary on this society that we read about here tonight. Number one, they rejected God's salvation in spite of God's preacher. We know the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 5, 2 Peter says, God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. So the scripture tells us some things about Noah. He tells us here that he's a preacher, and he's a preacher of righteousness. And here we find that the flood came upon the world of the ungodly. So here Noah is in the midst of a generation, in the midst of a people that deny everything that is true, everything that is right. You know, it's a astonishing thing that you can go just a few years from the Garden of Eden now to the destruction of mankind. You go from knowing God, talking to God, walking with God in the cool of the day, unto total rejection against the things of the Lord. Ever how many generations that was, they have come now from knowing to not knowing, and from accepting to rejecting. So Noah's ministry was a ministry of building. He built an ark, and the scripture tells us the dimensions of it, gives us how tall, how wide, how long, and all those the three levels representing, I believe, our triune God. It had one door, there's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus Christ. Only had one window. There's a discussion about what kind of window that was and what it was, but there's only one way they could look, and that was up. They could not look out. The window was in top, and it maybe ran all the way around the top of it. It maybe just was one spot. The only thing it represents to you and I that we need to understand tonight is that they could only go in when God called them in. God shut the door. They couldn't get out, and the only way they could look was up. And what took place during those days, many days and months of the flood, they had to depend upon the Lord. So Noah was a builder of the ark. God told him in Genesis chapter number 6, verse 14, God says to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. The word pitch there means covering. And it's the same word as we have translated elsewhere as atonement. Atonement is a covering. We noted something about that last week in one of the messages, how that the Lord doesn't necessarily atone our sin. He takes it away. But in the Old Testament, when the high priest would go in to the Holy of Holies, they would make an atonement for the sin of the people of Israel. It would cover their sin and push it forward to the next year. But when Jesus came, he came one time, and thank the Lord, he takes our sin away. But Noah was told to make this ark. He has the details. He has the plans. Tells what kind of wood. And there's a reason for that. We'll not get into that tonight. And pitch it within and without with pitch, or representing the atonement. It was ordained by the Lord that this ark would be a place of safety and security. And anybody that got on board, they were safe and they were secure. The problem was they wouldn't get on board. The problem was they had this preacher of righteousness, but yet they rejected him, and they refused his word, and then God shut the door, and it was too late. So Noah had a ministry, but Noah also had a message. Noah knew what it was to have and to know the grace of God. I'm glad tonight that by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, lest we could boast. If it's something that I can do, then I can say, look what I've accomplished. But salvation is not on what we do. Salvation is not on our work. Salvation is not on what we can figure out and try. Salvation is a gift from the Lord through faith in the Word of God. And so Noah's message was a message of grace that he had already experienced in his life. And God said he spared not the old world, but saved Noah. Why? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. A message of faith in salvation is a message fearing the wrath of God to come. And they did not understand. We understand that God is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. And we need to fear the wrath of God, because one day it will fall upon mankind. The Bible says in Romans 6:23 in the New Testament, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Thank God tonight, salvation is a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. And this ark represented to this generation and was presented to them by a preacher of righteousness. I wonder what Noah's message was every week. I think it's the same message, that there's a judgment day coming. I think it's the message that he tried to get their attention, that something is going to take place. You know, we have the same responsibility tonight. We live in a society, we live in a generation that knows not the Lord. They don't know God, they don't want to know God, and they don't want anybody else to know God. It's come down to just don't even talk about it. Well, we have to be preachers of righteousness. We have to be spokesmen for the Lord, because God has given us that responsibility. So the first obstacle that these folks went over was the obstacle of a preacher that cared about them and preached to them. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 6, when God sees how wicked they are, in verse number 3 of chapter 6, the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now from this point until the judgment falls, I personally believe is a period of time of 120 years that Noah preached. And I believe he had the same message continually, and nobody listened except his family. Nobody cared. And they rejected the Lord's salvation in spite of a preacher of righteousness, in spite of someone telling them the truth. Number two, they rejected God's salvation in spite of God's provision. What was that provision? It was the ark. Ark of safety. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet." So Noah had an insight to what was going to take place. Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. So he had a vision of faith of what God was telling him. The Bible says he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. The ark in the Old Testament is nothing more than a type of an ark of safety that Jesus Christ is to you and I. It protected them from God's judgment. And I'm glad tonight, as a Christian, as a believer, we are protected from the righteousness, from the wrath of God, because of the righteousness of the Lord. The Bible says that we are not appointed unto the wrath of God. We are appointed unto his mercy and his love. And so the ark here was a type of salvation that would protect anybody that would get on the ark from the judgment of the Lord. Salvation keeps us from the wicked one. Salvation keeps us from the harm of Satan. Salvation keeps us from the harvest of Satan. And we are born again by the Spirit of the Lord, and it is a protector to those of us that will believe. The ark was a teaching of a salvation. Everything that is in the ark, we don't have time to go into all the detail, but everything surrounding the ark pointed toward a Savior, pointed toward that one that would come, and he is the only way. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And the only way these folks could be saved out of the judgment of the Lord, the flood that was coming, was to get into the ark. Only way that we're saved from the judgment that is to come is to get into the ark. And of course, that ark is none other than Jesus Christ. Just like he is the only way to heaven today, the ark was the only way of security and safety in the day of Noah. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven Doesn't matter what the news media tells you. Doesn't matter what religion tells you. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus only. It's Jesus and no one else. It's Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, that will believe on Him. Already mentioned the door, already mentioned the window. All those things point to security and safety that the ark had for those that would enter in. John chapter 10, verse number 7. Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus Christ is the door. He is the way. He's the only way. He is the truth. But these folks rejected God's provision. Here is this humongous monument of God's grace called the ark. Those that have studied much more than I and understand much more than I do, they say probably before the windows of heaven opened up, that there was not any rain before that period of time. If you read back in the first part of Genesis, the Bible talks about a mist or a firmament. And most of the creationists believe that the earth was made moist and kept fresh by a mist. Was not rain that we know of. And all of a sudden, here's a man coming on the scene. You need to get right. You need to get in the ark. It's going to rain. Noah, what's rain? They didn't know what rain was, probably. But he was telling them something they did not know, warning them, and yet they would not accept. They rejected a preacher of righteousness, and they rejected the provision that God had given. Jesus Christ is our provision. There's just no other way to heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not too popular today in our politically incorrect world. That's not very popular as far as how people think. But the heathen in some of these countries that we think of as the dark continents of Africa and the third world countries, they're no more lost than people in America. They may live differently. They may have different ways, and they may not have as much as we have, but lost is lost. And without God is without God. And the only way they're going to go to heaven is the same way we go to heaven, and it's through the word of the Lord. And some folks say, well, we ought not to destroy or not to tamper with their traditions. Traditions of men bring people down to despair. This is a breaker of tradition. We need truth. We don't need tradition. We need the truth of God's word, because that's the only way to escape. That's the only way to get into the glory of the Lord. And the only way that these folks could have been spared was to get into the ark. They had opportunity. They had a preacher. They had someone that cared. They had someone that would tell them. They had someone that would take the time. And as he built the ark, he would tell them and preach them. I don't know. There may be some of those folks that were there around. No, they maybe helped him build the ark. I don't know. The size that ark is, four or five people couldn't do that. So there had to be some kind of construction going on. And as that was going on, the word of God, the messenger of the Lord, Noah, presented. He was a preacher of righteousness. And as they built the ark, Noah maybe told them, here's the door. This is the only way you're going to get in. This is the only way you're going to have. But they rejected that. They rejected God's salvation anyway. It did not matter what he said. Didn't matter what he built. They just went their own way because the imagination of their heart was only evil continually. Their heart had been so displaced by unrighteousness that they had no fear of God and they had no thought of God. And therefore, God's presence and God's provision did not bother them at all. So they rejected the preacher, and they rejected the provision. They rejected what the Lord had offered to them. All they had to do was get in. And that's simple. All you have to do is believe. Isn't that simple? Religion has made salvation so very difficult. Religion is not a friend to the gospel. I know we're called religious people, but I'm talking about organized religion has never been a friend to the truth of God's word. Religion has its own little set of rules. Sometimes it's called catechism. Sometimes it's called different things. Something we learn, something we get into our mind, but it's not into our heart. And so we go through all the motions of religion, but it blocks the door of salvation. And so these folks, even though they heard the preacher, even though they saw the provision, they rejected it. And they said, no, we will not have that. I read a moment ago, Genesis 6:3, it says, my spirit will not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. 120 years. We think of that as a long time. Noah lived a lot longer than we do. The generation then lived much longer. And if you'll read some of the things Ken Ham writes about that, you'll understand why. We don't have all the defects of days that has migrated upon us. And we live a shorter period of time because of sin. And here the Lord says, I'm going to give them 120 years. You see, they rejected God's salvation not just over the preacher and over the provision. They rejected God's salvation in spite of his patience. In spite of what he said, I'll give you 120 years. Man is flesh. He says there that for that he also is flesh. Yet his days, God says, his days shall be 120 years. That's right after you read that God says in verse 1 and 2 that the society in which they lived was a wicked society. But I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to give you time. And so here we see God's patience. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 20. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God. You better be glad tonight and thankful tonight that our God is long-suffering. He suffers with us a long, long time. He deals with me a lot longer than I would deal with me if I was judging me. He's long-suffering. And here in 1 Peter 3:20, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. God waited in the days of Noah. When? While the ark was preparing. While Noah was preparing the ark, while Noah was building the ark, Peter in the New Testament says that God was long-suffering toward them in that period of time while the ark was being prepared or made. And then it says, all that was made wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved. Out of all that generation, out of all that people, 8 souls. Not a very good report on a society. God judged them. And we read tonight that everything that had the breath of life in the nostrils, whether it be creeping, whether it be crawling, whether it be flying, or whether it be walking as a man, they all died. Except Noah. But God showed them patience. And they rejected God's salvation anyway. God gave them a preacher, and they rejected God's salvation. God gave them a provision. You see, God has always offered provision. He has always given society an escape from hell. And of course, we know here in the ark and throughout all the Old Testament, God gave provision to the Jew. He gave provision to the Gentile. And he gives now provision to you and I tonight by the preaching of the Word of God. So while they were disobedient, God showed patience. While they were wicked and ungodly and every imagination of their heart was evil continually, God was long-suffering. Did he look over it? For a little while, for 120 years. In the preparing of the ark, and then one day God said to Noah, come into the ark. Now, I've said this probably every time I preach anything about the ark, I always try to mention, do not believe what Hollywood shows you. Noah and the animals didn't rush into the ark while it was raining. They didn't just barely get in. God put them in the ark 7 full days before every drop of rain fell. And so what the movie gives you is nowhere near what the scripture gives us. And by the way, that's the way it all is with most all the so-called religious movies. So they didn't rush in getting wet. They didn't hurry up, just barely make it. God told Noah and his to come into the ark, and they went in. You know what happened? God brought in the animals, those animals 2 by 2, some 7 by 7. Those that came in seven pair were those that were used for the sacrifices. God kept everything intact, everything in store. And the Bible says that God remembered Noah while he was on the ark. And so we find here that while Noah was building the ark, God was patient. Noah's family was saved because of the patience of God. God knew that the building of the ark would take time. It didn't happen. It took time to build that. Over in central Kentucky, they built it a lot quicker than Noah did. A lot of different ways of doing today. But God gave that generation 120 years, a preacher of righteousness, showing forth a provision of safety and security. And God gave them that provision because he was patient with them. He was long-suffering. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What did God say? 120 years. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. The long-suffering of our God, not willing, this is very important, long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Not willing any should perish. God doesn't want people to die without him. God doesn't desire that people go to hell. God has made every provision possible, and then he patiently waits. He gives us time and opportunity. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Sounds like our God is very long-suffering, very patient. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And spared not the whole world, but saved Noah the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world, it says here, of the ungodly. Those that rejected, they said, we don't want your preacher, we don't want your provision, and we don't care about your patience. So God said, Noah, it's time to come in. You know, I believe there's a day coming very soon that the Lord's going to say, child of God, Christian, time to come up. Time to be out of here. There's provision being made. Preaching is going on. God's certainly been long-suffering to this generation. But there's a day coming when it's all going to be over. When God's patience was exhausted, the Bible says God shut the door. Now, if God shut the door, you can be assured nobody's going to open the door. His patience was exhausted, and now his righteousness executes judgment upon ungodliness. These folks of Noah's day, they rejected his salvation in spite of all that God gave to them. You know why America is being preserved as much as we are tonight? I believe it's because of preachers and churches preaching righteousness. But we're getting further and further between. You know why God's judgment hasn't fallen as it will fall? We've been studying that. We're going to get into some real details here in the next few weeks about the judgment of God that falls upon this earth. God told Noah, said, I'll never destroy the world again with a flood. And he won't do that. And he put the rainbow in the sky to prove that as a promise to Noah. But God does say he's going to destroy this world. And this next time it's by fire. And so we're going to be finding some things in our study on Sunday night, the book of the Revelation, the judgment of God that falls. And we cannot say God has not been patient. We cannot say God has not been long-suffering, because we are in a mess tonight. As a country, as a nation, as a world, we are in a mess. We were talking a little bit before church about there's some things going to collapse. You know why? Because we have rejected God's provision. Our nation cares nothing about God. Cares nothing about the things of the Lord. Doesn't want to even think about God. Genesis says only evil continually. Genesis gives us the wickedness of man. Romans chapter 1 gives us the wickedness of man. And God has a lot to say about man's wickedness. But God's long-suffering. As long as we're breathing, as long as we're upon this earth, we ought to be a preacher of righteousness. As long as we have activity, doesn't matter how little, how small, how big, how large, as long as we have something to say, we ought to present the provision that's been made to mankind, and that provision was on the cross of Calvary. As long as we're living, we have opportunity. And just as we have opportunity, so do all those that hear us. They may not want it, they may not like it, but they still hear it. And God can open the heart. And so God is patient. If he wasn't patient with me, I would be dead. If he wasn't patient with you, you'd be dead. God said, that's enough. I don't need you. But God's long-suffering. And the generation of Noah, they rejected his salvation in spite of a preacher, in spite of a provision, and in spite of the patience of the God of heaven that gave them life. The breath of life. God said he breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life. And he became a living soul. In Genesis chapter 7, he destroyed the breath of life in everyone except those that went into the ark. Thank God tonight, I don't know who the ark is tonight. It's Jesus Christ. And I'm glad there's room at the cross for anybody that will come. So the people of Noah's day, they rejected God in spite of all that he gave to them. In spite of God's provision, in spite of God's long-suffering. We are told and we are given the same opportunity to go and tell. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Why do we do that? Because there's a provision out there. People in Australia, they don't have to go to hell. People in Kenya, Chile, you read all the names of the flags around the building. Now, they don't have to go, because we have an opportunity to present to them the provision. It's not the ark now. It is the ark of safety, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And God is long-suffering, but there's a day comes when his long-suffering runs out and says enough is enough. Genesis, Romans chapter 1, it says the whole world is guilty before God, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know what he's talking about there? Talking about who we just read about. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Who is he talking about? Talking about my generation. Talking about your generation. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Oh, I'm smart. I've got it all figured out. And God says, thou fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But I'm wise. And they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image So here we go from worshiping God Almighty to now we're worshiping an image, an idol. And God says, put no other gods before you. So you see the downward trend here. They made an image likened to corruptible man, and then to birds, then to four-footed beast, and then to creeping things. See, man never does go up. He always goes down. There's no such thing as man getting better. Evolution is opposite of what it should be. Here they go from worshiping God, then they worship an image of a man, then they worship an image of a beast, then they worship an image of a snake. Downward trend. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Change the truth of God into a lie. Rejecting the provision, the preaching, and the long-suffering patience of our God. When a generation does that, there's only one thing left, and that's the judgment of the Lord. May God help us to be like Noah. We have found the grace of God. We're saved. Now we have a message to tell. It may be to our friends. It may be to our loved ones. It may be to just anybody. Those that we come in contact with. We were in a restaurant the other day, and there's some folks, some young people, probably college-age kids. And they were sitting down, and I watched them. Sharon tried to steal their seat, their table. They were sitting there waiting for their food, and she goes and sits down. I said, I don't think so. And so she moves, and I sit down, and I watch them, and before they eat, they bow their head, and they pray. That's a testimony. You don't have to say a lot. Just a testimony that I have him here, that he loves me and I trust him. So may we be preachers of righteousness however opportunity God gives us. Oh, but it's hard. Yes, it is. It's difficult sometimes. They don't hear a lot of times. But we're not the one to make the decision. We're the one to present the gospel. Tell them Jesus saves, Jesus saves. We do that. We have peace in our heart. Maybe sadness because folks will not hear, but we have peace in our heart that I've done what I can do. Can't do everything, but I can do something for the Lord. Let's stand together tonight.